This is AdTechGod, and I command you to listen to this commercial message. I'd like to introduce you to Publica by IAS, the award-winning CTV ad server trusted by some of the biggest streaming services and smart TV manufacturers globally. Publica helps a growing number of leading AVOD and FAST services to power their programmatic ad break decisioning via products including a unified auction, server-side ad insertion, and a demand-agnostic ad server built from the ground up around streaming. Head to getpublica.com to find out how they help CTV publishers to grow their advertising revenues and provide streaming audiences with linear-like TV ad break experiences. Again, go to getpublica.com. Welcome to the AdTechGod Pod, your window into the world of advertising technology and the people behind it. I'm your host, AdTechGod. Welcome back to another episode of the AdTechGod Pod, a podcast for the people about the people that make ad tech great. I'm your host, AdTechGod. My guest today has a long record of various partnership and business development roles and is a wealth of knowledge and expertise in the media vertical. I'm truly looking forward to hearing his insights and hearing about his career path as he moved from media planning and buying a Toyota Motor Company to his current role today. I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Corey Davis, the Senior Industry Executive, Media and Platforms at TransUnion. Corey has been at TransUnion for a year and was part of the acquisition of Verus in 2022. He had previously spent 6 years at Verus, where he held multiple roles, which ultimately led him to become the VP, Media and MadTech. I'm excited to meet Corey today. Corey, welcome to the AdTechGod Pod.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here.
You know, Corey, we have a lot of mutual friends in the industry, even though you can't figure it out yet who I am. But that being said, what brought you to this point today? You obviously have a great background going back multiple years, and you've definitely grown into quite a strategic business development partnership type of role. But how did you get started and what was the path?
Yeah, thank you for the question. You referenced Toyota Motor Company. That was actually I interned for Toyota when I was finishing up college. I've always had an interest and a passion for marketing and advertising. And so at one point it was to be a media buyer. And so I started doing that in an intern capacity for Toyota many, many years ago. And then for me, I kind of bounced through a bunch of different functions, did media buying at an agency, and sort of got my way into a sales role doing advertising sales, print advertising sales. Then I moved into web design and development at a small digital agency and doing sort of consulting and sales there, and then sort of stumbled upon data and identity 7 years ago now, joining a company at that time called Infutor. And that was really my first real introduction to ad tech. I was in a data company, so it wasn't an ad tech business, but we were selling our data, licensing our data to a bunch of ad tech businesses, and kind of haven't ever looked back. So I've been in that space every single day for coming up on 7 years now, you know, working with, you know, some of the coolest, smartest people, nicest people all around ad tech and media businesses for quite a while now. So it was definitely not exactly the path that I chose for myself. Kind of fell forward, I guess, into it over the years. But I love it. It's been wonderful.
It's crazy to think how once you sort of get into this industry, it's really hard to leave. I've been seeing a lot of people who had previously left get back into it. And I've seen that a lot over the last 5 or 6 years. People were like, I'm out. I'm done. No more ad tech. And then 3 years later, they're like, I'm back. I'm back into ad tech. Turns out it's a pretty fun environment and it pays well and it's fun. So I'm glad that you've been doing this for so long. You obviously have a ton of experience. You were part of the acquisition, right? So you were acquired by TransUnion. How was that in terms of adapting to a new work culture, new colleagues, new structures? What can you tell us about that experience?
So there's some nuance here to this. So I was at Infutor, and it's kind of complicated. So I was at Infutor. Infutor was acquired by a company called Verisk. So I joined Infutor right after a growth equity investment. So private equity bought a majority of the Infutor business in late 2016. I joined in early 2017, and we grew that business a bunch over, say, 5 years or so. Then we were acquired by Verisk as sort of a component to the Verisk business, which was data, but data for insurance companies, financial services businesses, really around like premiums and risk profiling and things like that for those businesses, meaning there was no marketing use case at Verisk at the time. And so they bought Infutor along with another asset to create a marketing services business, which then was rebranded Infutor and this other asset, Jornaya, into what was called Verisk Marketing Solutions, which is called Verisk Marketing Solutions. Within 3 or 4 days of that deal being announced, TransUnion acquired Verisk Financial, which was a subsidiary of Verisk, and acquired Verisk Financial from Verisk Corporate. Then a year after that, so I was at Verisk, I left Verisk Marketing Solutions, and joined TransUnion. So I didn't come from Infutor into Verisk into TransUnion directly. I came sort of through the back door. So it's kind of complicated because of those two, the buying and the selling of those two assets happening within a couple of days of each other. But I joined TransUnion, it's been about 10 months or so now, and really was just the same way I think anybody joins a new business anywhere around ad tech is I had a relationship with a key executive inside of TransUnion. I was considering what was going to be next for me. I reached out and we found a spot that he was excited about and their team was excited about and that I was excited about. And so it's been about 10 months for me here at TransUnion.
What exactly does TransUnion do in the media sector today? How does TransUnion work with them?
Yeah, so we have a marketing services business where, you know, really the core of it is data and identity, anything data and identity, we have an offering. And so we're pretty entrenched in sort of all of the key categories across marketing advertising. So pretty big relationships, direct relationships with enterprise brands, marketers, advertisers, pretty scaled relationships with agencies, agency holding companies, large independents that would then support those brands. Those two being on sort of one side of the house, and then the other side of the house being platforms, predominantly ad tech and media businesses. And so I sit on the media and platform side of the house where we're working with, you know, kind of TV businesses, audio businesses, digital out of home businesses, media destinations, along with all the DSPs and SSPs, et cetera, that are going to support that category, and all around data and identity. So everything, you know, on top of this graph asset, the TransUnion identity device and household graph asset that powers all kinds of marketing and advertising across, you know, basically every vertical in marketing and advertising across, you know, kind of every use case.
So obviously there's a lot going on with identity this year in 2024. Jumping around a lot today, but honestly, this is a great conversation. And I think it's a really good topic to talk about anyway. We'll get back to some of the other items on the agenda. But where do you see things going this year? I mean, there's obviously a lot of disruption in the market, a lot of great solutions in market that are being offered, some better than others. What's your perspective on the direction of the industry for 2024?
Yeah, so I think specifically around data and identity, I would say that the core trend there is a flight to quality. So as somebody who used to work at a small data business, we really rode the wave of large buyers and customers of our data license looking to do deals with everybody. And that was a trend that was very prominent 5 years ago. And that was very good for me personally, and certainly very good for the Infutor business that I worked at for a long time. I think that trend has gone away as everyone has realized how challenging that actually is, just in just raw dollars that it costs to do that, along with, you know, managing a bunch of vendors, actually matching a bunch of this data together to like one data provider to the other, and trying to make and extract a bunch of value out of that. I think that's really challenging. So around data and identity, I think the core trend has been a flight to quality, which results in looking for one provider that can solve as many of the things that your business needs around data and identity all in one place. So certainly I am biased, but TransUnion is trying to be that. And certainly there are others, but generally I would say the flight to quality around data and identity. More broadly, specifically like in ad tech, part of the reason that I love it, you were talking before about lots of people want to leave and then they end up coming back. To me, I think it's a two sides kind of the same trend. It's both consolidation and innovation, meaning there's obviously, it doesn't take long to read the industry pubs and hear of some company being acquired by some other company. That happens all the time. Even with the market as it is today, we're still seeing transactions. While in parallel, there are seemingly never-ending, really smart, really capable founders who are saying, I can do something better. I found a space where I can innovate, and going off and starting their own businesses. So even as some more mature businesses go away, they get acquired by some other business, and they're a part of some very scaled ad tech company. In parallel, there's these brand new startups who just have a different way of going about the same problem, and they think they have a unique advantage, or they're solving something that hasn't been solved yet. And so that's why I like it so much, is the sort of never-ending change in the category is very difficult to manage, but very exciting to try to keep up with everything that goes on and try to understand why it's happening and try to support the market the best it can.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I think, you know, the evolution, the innovation that we see in the industry is awesome. I think it's both incredibly exciting to see people spin out and create their own companies and trying to resolve maybe an issue that isn't big enough for the larger companies, but is big enough for a startup. That makes sense. Meaning the investment needed from a larger company, whether it be publicly traded or not, they may feel like the investment in that particular solution isn't just big enough. It's not a big enough revenue opportunity to move the needle. And so you see these startups really spinning up some awesome solutions in the market that you look at and say, wow, it's actually a great idea. And it's solving a pain point. It's solving an issue that we have in the market. I think one thing that I've noticed over the last, you know, maybe 12 to 18 months, mostly I think spurred by the great resignation followed by, you know, the layoffs that we saw last year, is that a lot of these guys are very smart. They were let go from their work, and they're coming up with some amazing companies across all aspects of the industry. And when I talk to them or I interact with them, I'm realizing these guys were such assets at the company that they worked at, but again, may not have been a big enough business unit or revenue opportunity for 5,000 people, but it's definitely a big enough opportunity for 50 or 20. And so like you're seeing these awesome solutions come into market now that I think have massive potential for growth, and I hope the innovation continues to solve some of the issues that we have. I'm pretty bullish on 2024 overall. I think we still have some pain to go through, but generally I'm feeling pretty positive that we're going to have a decent year, if not better than last year.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, the core of why I'm optimistic and positive about the sector, ad tech, marketing and advertising, any or all of those things, is really what we're talking about is advertising on the internet. And that's a pretty large thing on its own already. And it's not like we're going backwards. So yes, quarter by quarter, even year by year, you know, there are certainly challenges. There are downtimes, just like there are uptimes. But over the very, very long term, there is no doubt in my mind that the category, the sector, will continue to see very substantial innovation, very, very big companies be built from scratch and turn into large, large businesses. And there will be a bunch of people along the way who will have like a really good life because of ad tech. And that's amazing. You know, and that, I think that that continues sort of until something gets invented that's better than the internet, which
I don't think we're there yet. I feel like we still have so much growth in the internet and streaming television. I don't see this going away anytime soon. I think refinement will happen. I think distribution channels will happen. I think fragmentation will continue to play a role. I think we have such a long way to go in terms of, you know, creating the right user experience, being able to, you know, capture and retain our users, continue to price the offering correctly. You know, there's so much work to be done in the industry that I don't see it going away. I actually see it continuing to grow and chip away at the linear budgets. I mean, long term, you look back 30 years ago, look at the ad budgets 30 years ago compared to now. I mean, imagine what the ad budgets will be 15 years from now, 20 years from now, compared to where they are today. So it's going to grow. It's just who's going to get that piece and who's going to have the right solution.
I think of one conversation that I had with a friend of mine, Eric Franchi, the founder of Undertone. This was maybe 2 years ago. And he, you know, somebody who has been around ad tech for 20, 25 years. And he says something like when he started in ad tech, which is this is around sort of the, I guess, the turn of the century is what they would call it, that time to today, that advertising on the internet is about 100 times the size it was 20 years ago. And if you think about all of the companies and all of the smart people, the marketers themselves that are buying all of this stuff, and ultimately the consumer who's deciding to buy from that brand and the places they're going to do that, the internet, streaming, et cetera, I don't see there being any scenario where it doesn't do the same 100x over the next 20 years. And that feels hard to think about. And that's like, that's a very, very large business or a very large market, but it's totally possible.
I mean, you just look at the way the budgets are being spent from brands too. Like I was part of the whole, you know, demise of print. You remember that when everybody said, let's totally double down on print. This is where it's at. Forget this internet thing. It's a fad. And lo and behold, shortly after, like print was dead. Everything was online. And you saw those budgets, you know, shift over. And I don't think it's going to be as rapid for linear, just streaming. But I mean, you're definitely seeing that shift. Like you can visibly see the graphs of, you know, dollars moving towards connected TV. I think it's going to continue. I don't know. I don't think it's going to accelerate as fast as that. But there's definitely massive growth opportunity in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Corey, what about career-wise? You've obviously been very successful in your career and you're at a fantastic company like TransUnion. You know, what are some of the big milestones and highlights that you feel that you're really proud of?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say for me, career milestones for me have kind of gone hand in hand with like life milestones. So I'm originally from the suburbs outside of Akron, Ohio. And 2 or 3 years after I was out of school, I moved to Chicago, which was intimidating and terrifying and hard and whatever, all those words. But I sort of made a bet on myself. I was fortunate enough that I had a job waiting for me in Chicago. And I think that move got me out of my comfort zone for sure. And was really the first time I was in digital advertising. That was at that web design company that I joined. And so that was a big one that really opened my eyes to a much larger market than, you know, than the small town that I was from. That was one. I think thing two definitely was the 5.5 years at Infutor resulting in, you know, a sale of the business. I joined shortly after a new set of owners came in, private equity investors. And all along the way, the goal was, hey, let's grow the business. Let's grow the business efficiently, profitably, and let's do it by serving customers and serving them better than anybody else can. And then let's also have a plan to sell this business because we have shareholders that invested in this thing and they need a good return. And so to be able to go through that whole process and accomplish that and have a good exit to a large strategic after private equity investment and sort of ride that wave and do all kinds of things in those years that I'd never done before was definitely a big one. And then I would say the last one is kind of landing at TransUnion after all the experience in a prior identity business, after all the experience in media and platforms, and now sort of doing that inside a larger marketing services business. You know, I'd say those are sort of the three big ones.
Those are pretty big. And I agree. I think moving is a big part of growing. So I think that alone is there. I mean, moving into digital too, just kind of jumping into it early on. I mean, obviously it's way more complicated today. I had a conversation with someone earlier today that said, you know, it feels like everybody in our industry has now been doing it for a long time. And the newbies are rare, like it's very rare. You hear someone is new in the industry. And I think what's pretty incredible to watch is, you know, as this market matures, you're constantly uncomfortable. Like this industry, you're constantly uncomfortable. There's constantly some sort of change that you need to learn and adapt to. And it's very hard to keep track. So I guess my question to you is, how do you keep track of everything that's going on?
I try to read as much as possible. I try to go a step further than just industry publications. The industry publications are very valuable, but what I found that's helpful for me to actually really understand something is go a step further into things like API documentation. That is very uncomfortable for me, but I have been doing some version of that for, I guess, about 12 years now. I am barely conversational at reading code, but for me, what works is going a step further beyond the press release, beyond the interview, beyond the whatever, and trying the best I can to understand what's happening under the hood. I don't know that I actually, in that moment, really learn anything. I actually just feel like it generates a little bit of confidence. And the confidence really results in me, when I get asked a question that I don't know the answer to, just telling somebody that I don't know the answer. Because I think that's, you know, if I had advice for the next generation coming up, I would say nobody really knows all of it or even most of it. Everybody is learning it as they go because it's changing so fast. And so the closer you can get to being comfortable saying, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to go figure it out for you, whether that's a client or a boss or your product manager, or your engineer that you're working with, or whoever it is, the closer you can be to just telling the truth that you don't know probably wins you some credit with the other person. Because if they're more experienced than you, they also know that you don't know because they don't know, right? So I think just sort of that combination of be willing to work hard, be willing to go a step deeper than most everybody else is, but also in parallel, be authentic, be honest, and be comfortable saying you don't know, because this is such a complicated category. And because if you knew everything 12 months ago, you know almost nothing today. Like, it just changes that fast.
It's funny, I parade around as ad tech god, and at the same time, there's so much I don't know. And I lean on, you know, people such as yourself and people on X and on LinkedIn and you know, the Slack community, where I'm learning so much from colleagues, because it's almost impossible for you to be an expert across the entire spectrum of like the Lumascape. Like, you can really understand SSPs, you can really understand data, you can really understand identity, you can understand everything to some degree and piece it all together and say, okay, I know how this all works and functions to some degree. But it's really hard to be an expert across the entire piece. And so, you know, I think you mentioned something, it's like, you know, admitting that you don't know, leaning into people, asking questions is really the right path. Looking at documentation is not my strong suit. I'm going to be honest. I try to, but I go nuts. I look at it and I just go nuts. So I give you a lot of credit for doing that. What is the next event you are going to? Out of curiosity, this is in March.
Yeah, so I will be at the, I don't know when in March you're publishing here, but I will be at the Beat Retreat in Puerto Rico the second week of March. And then I plan to be at Possible in Miami in April. You know, and then for me, the travel season does kind of slow down a little bit, at least conference-wise. Obviously, I'm moving around for client things, but you know, there's definitely a stack of events here at the beginning of the year where I try to get out to as many of those as I can to see clients, et cetera. And then potentially Cannes in June. So those are that's the next chunk of things for me.
Amazing. So you know, I will have a presence at Possible. That is confirmed. So it should be fun. So I'm planning something pretty cool, pretty fun at that event. I think Beat Retreat is a great event as well. I think they've done a fantastic job getting the right people in the right room to talk about the right topics. So I'm a huge fan of that as well, but definitely excited for Possible coming up in April. So Corey, that brings us to the end of the podcast. I really wanted to thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your insights on what's going to happen in 2024.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Love everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Then I will continue to root for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Corey. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Ad Tech God Pod, a podcast for the people about the people that make ad tech great. Stay connected with me for more insights, trends, and interviews in the realm of ad tech. Don't miss out on our latest updates, so follow me on X, Instagram, and connect with me on LinkedIn. Don't forget, ATG Slack community has insights, networking opportunities, and jobs. Keep the conversation going and stay at the forefront of ad tech innovation.